So, I want to begin by reading what's on the front of the bulletin. Obviously, you know it's Dedication Sunday this morning. And I want to read what we have in the front here. Psalm 105, 1-3. Read the whole psalm. It's great. But the first three verses go like this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. In Indian Valley, listen, we right here who seek the Lord, right here. We have plenty to be glad about at Indian Valley Faith Fellowship. We have plenty to be glad about, for the Lord has done incredible things for us, incredible things for us. And first and foremost, for goodness sake, as the apostle would put it, the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The apostle says in Ephesians 1:3, he has done great things for us, great things for us. But also, it seems that the Lord has been moving among us for, a few years here, at least at Indian Valley. He has been growing us. He has been helping us. He has been guiding us. And also for what we're celebrating today. Do you realize for nearly 20 years, this church has sought to build, to better accommodate our people and our programs and our nursery school and our Sunday school, and for those who really, really need to use the restroom before they wet their pants, right? Because we didn't have a lot of restrooms around here. And years ago, Indian Valley almost reached the building phase. There was what? Acts Alive? I guess that's number one, because there's a number two, Acts Alive 2. It's like everybody was moving the ball down the field, And people sought to do it, but we could just never reach the phase of building. We could never reach the building phase because in God's providence, it's no fault of anybody, but in God's providence, actual construction was never allowed. It just never came to be. But now, think of it, church. Now the Lord has seen fit. He has seen fit to make it happen at this time in our day. 20 years later. So I say, I don't know how you feel, but I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what he has done. And we dedicate this building today. We'll be formal. We'll walk down the hall. We'll pray a prayer of dedication. But listen, we dedicate this new building today for the ministry of the Lord here in this church. And as we do, we might rejoice. Perhaps you might rejoice that the youth will no longer, if you're a visitor, this will sound weird, but it's all true. Listen, the youth will no longer have to use blankets sitting in a cold, moldy modular in wintertime. We don't have to do that anymore. And again, more space, more restrooms, all these things. And on this Dedication Sunday, as we think about using this building, God willing, for years to come, I'd like to call us this morning to cling to what is most important as we think about using this new space. And to do that, I would like us to consider this morning, just briefly, 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6, this is where Solomon builds the temple of the Lord. Dean Yoder was referring to it. This is the building project of the greatest structure in the Old Testament, the temple of the Lord. This is Solomon's building program. And verse 1 goes like this. Check it out. All I want to do is point you to the structure here. A lot of times if you get the structure of the chapter, if you get the structure of it, it says a lot. It's like right on the surface. That's all I want to do is point out the structure this morning. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 goes like this. Now it came about in the 480th year after the sons of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. Realize this is when they came out under Moses. 480 years earlier. And now it says, in the fourth year of Solomon. Okay, 400 years later, 480 years later, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he, Solomon, now I want you to catch the word began. He began to build the house of the Lord. Key word. He began to build the house of the Lord. And church, in the first 10 verses, from verse 1 to verse 10, it speaks of all that went into the beginning work of the temple of the Lord until all the exterior was done. All the, you know, construction of the walls and all that, all the exterior work was completed. Okay, first 10 verses focus on that beginning work. And from verse 14 to the end of the chapter, verse 38, it speaks of all that went into the finishing work of the temple of the Lord. And if you look at it, it focuses on all the interior, okay? The walls are up and they had to start working inside, right? And the finishing work, and the finishing work is emphasized here because in the very first verse, verse 14 and verse 38, it highlights the Hebrew word kalal, which means finished, and on both sides it highlights it. It says the work of the Lord was finished, first verse of the section. The last verse, the work of the Lord was finished. If you've been around here a little bit, you know that's called an inclusio. It is bookends. It's like highlighting. It is bracketing off the entire section. The section goes like this, right? Verse 14, the work of the Lord was finished. The last verse, the work of the Lord was finished. And everything in between those two verses tells you all that went into finishing the work of the Lord on the temple. So think about how this is structured. Just picture it for a second. At the beginning, you have all the beginning work, all the construction work, the beginning, what happened in the beginning. And at the end, you have everything that went into finishing the house of the Lord. In Indian Valley, it is no accident. It is no accident. This is like on-purpose structure in the Holy Scriptures. It is no accident that right smack in the middle of these two building, beginning the work, finishing the work, all this building stuff over the whole chapter, right in the middle, Solomon gets a word from the Lord. That's no accident. Solomon gets a word from the Lord. Check it out. Verse 11 goes like this. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 11. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Solomon. And this is what God said, verses 12 and 13. Concerning this house that you are building, if you will walk in my statutes and obey my rules and keep my commandments and walk in them, then I will establish my word with you, which I spoke to David your father, verse 13. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. In Indian Valley, may I suggest to you that this text is strategically placed in the very center of all this building in 1 Kings chapter 6 to remind Israel, and by the way, to remind us too, that though it is fitting, it is absolutely fitting that we rejoice in the Lord, that he has allowed us to build this. He has allowed us to build this building, and we rejoice, we rejoice, we rejoice. But yet, church, the most important thing, and here's the point of the whole text, the most important thing before, during, and after the project is complete is that we take great pains, not just Israel back then, but we too take great, great pains to keep the Lord at the center of our lives in this church. Amen? We keep the Lord at the center of this church. Listen, walking in his statutes, his rules, his commands, his ways. And listen, Indian Valley, think of it. Listen, I believe, and I have heard many of you say, I have heard you say that the Lord seems to be moving an awful lot at Indian Valley, especially in the last couple of years. I had some of our senior saints here, at least a couple, say, I have been here for 50 years. I've been here from the very beginning, and it seems like the Lord is more active in doing more in the last couple of years than I remember in the entire 50 years. And I go, wow, praise God, because I wasn't here 50 years ago, okay? I was like 3, you know? And listen, the Lord is working. The Lord seems to be on the move at Indian Valley here. He seems to be moving and shaping us and changing the atmosphere in the church here. And oh, church, that's why I believe it is so important. It is so important that in all our actions, in all our attitudes, and all that we do, and using this great new space that we have here, that we keep the Lord first and foremost and forefront in our lives and in this church. We must keep the Lord at the center. We must keep the Lord at the center. It's kind of like the story, I think, illustrates what I'm trying to say here. Did you ever hear the story about the old barkeeper, the saloon keeper? And he was, you know, business was, you know, running out, so he sold his place to a church that was looking for a place to worship. So they bought this old saloon, and enthusiastic church members tore out the bar, you know, did all the stuff that you need to do. They're working, tearing out the bar, adding lights and pews and a fresh coat of paint and all that stuff. But somehow a parrot that belonged to the barkeeper got left behind, this old parrot as well. So on the first Sunday service, the bird was watching from the rafters, and when the pastor came out, the bird squawked, new proprietor. And when the musicians came up, the parrot screeched, new floor show. And then when he looked over the congregation, the bird screeched, same old crowd. Indian Valley, the Lord has been doing a work here inside and out. I really believe that. The Lord has been doing a work inside and out. He's been doing it in a lot of you. He's been doing it in me too, because I've not arrived either, okay? I believe the Lord has been doing a good, grand work here inside and out. So as we think about using this new building, as we think about using this new space, oh, may we never turn. May we never return to being the same old crowd. May we never, never go back. May we never be the same old crowd. So my challenge for us today, as we dedicate the new building, as we dedicate the new space that the Lord has seen fit to let us have in this day, I want to remind us as we dedicate the new building, O church, that we renew our resolve to dedicate ourselves, that we dedicate ourselves, that we keep Jesus at the center of our lives here, the center of our church here. And to do that, what I want to do is I just want to remind us of things. Five things, it sounds like a lot, but it's not a lot. I'm going to be fairly short this morning. But I want to remind us of five things that I have mentioned. They have come up here from time to time at this church, and I think it's because they're mentioned a lot in the Bible, and I think they are super important for us to observe as a church, as we dedicate ourselves to, as we dedicate ourselves to following this Lord of ours. So, for example, O church, and here's the first one, if we are to keep Jesus at the center here, if we are to be dedicated and dedicate our lives to Him, O church, we must cling to His Word, right? We must follow His Word. I know this is important to a lot of you here, probably if not everybody here, that we follow His Word, that we follow His Word. Listen, the Apostle Paul, do you realize some of his last words before his martyrdom, the last book he writes is 2 Timothy in the Bible, 2 Timothy, and some of the last words he records before his martyrdom, he tells his beloved disciple, Timothy, a whole bunch of things. He says, you know, this is what's going to happen. He's talking about in the church, the imposters will come, and they will go from bad to worse and deceive, and be deceived themselves. And he turns to Timothy, and he says, but you, however, you hang on to what you've learned. Hang on to what you've learned and become convinced of, knowing of whom you have learned them. And that from a child, you have known the sacred writings, the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 goes like this. Paul says, in that very context, he says these words. You have it memorized, I bet. All scripture is not just the product of people. All scripture is breathed out by God, and by nature of that fact alone, it is profitable for teaching, for reproof. Remember, I've described this before. Reproof is this. You should feel that sometimes on a Sunday or in your devotions, not just like, you are the man, you are the dude. You should feel this sometimes. Ouch. That's reproof, where the Bible says, stop it, stop it. Correction is the flip side. Start doing this instead. Do this instead. For reproof, right? Teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work through the Word. Through the Word, that's the context. Through the Word. And Paul's best parting advice to Timothy is cling to the Word. Cling to the Word. Know it. Live it. Do it. Cling to it. Cling to it. And church, if we would keep Christ at the center of our lives and this church here, we got to do the same. We must cling to the Word. We must cling to the Word. For church, I don't know if you've noticed, but we live in a day where many churches are adrift. Has anybody noticed this? Even Christian institutions, even some Christian colleges, if you look at some of their theology, there's a lot that's adrift in our day, especially in the West, especially in the Western world, which is just kind of adrift. For many Christians, their morals, their beliefs, their doctrine, their belief system, often, it seems in our day, is based oftentimes more on self and culture and the spirit of the age rather than the Word of the Lord. And O church, if we would have Jesus at the center, we must cling to His Word. We must cling to His Word. Listen, William Suthers says in his book, actually Pastor Cliff gave me this book and I enjoyed it greatly. It was called The Messiah Comes to Middle Earth. The Messiah Comes to Middle Earth. You know, I'm a Lord of the Rings geek. And he says something that I've always thought was true. My favorite character in Lord of the Rings is Theoden. Okay, I have a sword in my office, all that. And for the very reason he says here, but he says it better than I can say it. But this is what he says. He's speaking of Theoden of Rohan in the Lord of the Rings. And this is what he says, quote, he says, here is a king who has been lied to, poisoned by the spells of Saruman, who's like the devil, you know, Satan, poisoned by the spells of Saruman and crippled to do anything. But when the spell is lifted, we see the transformation of Theoden, and he rides out with the king, Aragorn. He rides out with the king and saves his people, end quote. And church, we too, think about it. We too, we've been lied to. We've been lied to. We've been poisoned by Satan. We've been poisoned by him. But Jesus lifted the spell. Jesus lifted the spell. So, O Indian Valley, let us ride out with the King. And I'm talking about King Jesus. Let us ride out with the King here. Let us go with him and be his witnesses in this world. Let us be his witnesses and follow his word in this world. So in Indian Valley, oh church, as we dedicate this building today and we dedicate it to the Lord, we dedicate it to the Lord. Let us also dedicate ourselves by passionately following God's word. Cling to his word, church. Cling to his word. Cling to his word. Let me give you another. And they'll get shorter as I go. Fret not. They'll get shorter as I go. Number two is this. As we dedicate this building, also, let us dedicate ourselves by maintaining the unity here. So important. By maintaining the unity here. Check out Ephesians 4:3. This is one of the first verses I mentioned when I started here. In the early sermons that I preached here, one of the first things that I mentioned here, Ephesians 4:3, you might remember the context that Paul says we are to Christians, Christian people. He's not writing to the world. Christian people, walk worthy. You who know Christ, who have been saved by his blood, walk worthy of the vocation, of the calling that you have received in Jesus Christ with all humility, with meekness, you know, humbleness, forbearing one another in love. And then it goes like this, verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In other words, in the context here, in other words, God has already brought unity about among his people through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as applied by the Holy Spirit. God has already done it. So the Lord says, he says, so now you and I, Christians, you and I are to be diligent, says the Lord, to maintain it. To maintain it. To keep it. To keep it. I remember some years ago, I was struggling with a brother in Christ, another Christian. So I turned to another person who knew this guy too, happened to know this guy too. And I said, we need to pray for so-and-so. Listen, I, your pastor, said this. I said, we need to pray for so-and-so. And let me give you some information to help you pray more intelligently. And the information I gave went like this. Slander, slander, undercut, stab, bash, bash. Matthew Henry says this, quote, he says, the greatest wickedness often conceals itself under a mask of piety, end quote. And church, this happens all over the place. I told you before, I went to school with pastors. I graduated with pastors. I go to these little, you know, ministerial things. I get to hang out with a lot of pastors and all that. And I'm telling you, church, this happens in all kinds of churches all over the place. This is a very, very, very frequent thing. Oh, but here we are now. Here we are today. Let it not happen here. Oh, church, let it not happen here, for unity is a part of the hard work A number of you were here yesterday doing, by my count, it was like 6 hours out here doing manual labor. I woke up kind of sore this morning, okay? Listen, be diligent. Like, we understand, like, the hard work. Well, this is the hard work of fighting the devil right here. This is the hard work of fighting the devil and honoring the Lord, what the apostle is talking about here, so may we honor him. I like what D.A. Carson says. One of my favorite New Testament scholars, but he says this. He says this to Christians. Listen to this. All of us would be wiser if we would resolve never to put people down except on our prayer list. I go, yes, yes. And I need the reminder. I made myself a bookmark, and it's in one of my books in my office right now. Okay, so every time I open it, I'll see it. It's like, oh, oh, we need it. We need it. So let us dedicate the building. As we dedicate the building, oh, let us dedicate ourselves. The real building, understand, the real temple, the church of the living God. Let us dedicate ourselves by being active agents for Jesus, active agents for Jesus, our Lord, by inspiring unity among his people. And there's other things we can talk about. I'm going to mention it briefly. How about love? We've mentioned that many times. Love. I think just a few weeks ago, let us love one another. Remember Jesus said in John 13:35, probably one of the more famous verses on love, quote is a few weeks back. Jesus says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. This is how people will know out there that we are the real deal, that you are actually a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. And church, listen, we all know how to still show love to our biological family members, even when we think they're being dumb. We know how to do that. And the point is, so also let us show love to the greater family, by the way, the greater family, the family of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we claim membership to as well, by loving each other, even when we think, you know, we're being dumb. The other one's being dumb. Let us love one another. And church, let us pray for the community. Let us dedicate ourselves to the Lord by praying for this community. Remember, I think it was back in, I don't know, January, February, somewhere in there, where we talked about having expectant prayer, praying with expectancy. I know some of you picked that up. I know some of you picked up the banner and it was like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it. And you've been doing it for months now. I know a number of you are doing that. And let's pray, church. Let us dedicate ourselves by praying for the Lord to do a work here, that he would save people in our community, that he would grow people in Jesus that come from this community into the church and be grown up in the Lord. And even old-time saints, may we be grown in the Lord, grown in the Lord. May this happen here. Let us pray for it, okay? For we've said before, church, do you realize the mission of the church? The mission of the church. Do you realize it's all about Jesus? Do you realize that? It's not about you. You're not the center. You are not the center. It is all about Jesus. It is all about making disciples for him, making disciples for him. It's got nothing to do with your will. It's got nothing to do with your way. It's got nothing to do, I've mentioned before, about perpetuating your favorite thing, whatever, from your past, and to make sure, you know, that goes on and on forever until the Lord returns. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So let's pray for the work of the Lord here. I'm talking like the Great Commission work of the Lord that Jesus told us we need to be busy about, to be thinking about, to make disciples right here in this church. And one more, and I think it goes along with everything I just said. I've mentioned it before. This is something I mentioned early on, 5 years ago when I first started here, because I think it is super, super important. We're dedicating the building. We dedicate the building. Let us dedicate ourselves, church. Let us dedicate ourselves to the Lord by letting ourselves go. I don't think we'll ever fully do this side of glory. But God forbid that we aren't putting our fullest into it, that we let ourselves go. Sometimes I call this dying to self, dying to self. Matthew 16, 24 goes like this. I mentioned this text when I preached it 5 years ago. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. That is a tall order. He must deny himself and take up his cross, instrument of death, by the way, and follow me. And in the context, Jesus is going to be crucified. He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We'll spend a lot, I guarantee you, we'll park and do one whole sermon when we reach this in Matthew 16, 24 and develop it more. But, oh, church, I have found time and again, that most squabbles happen in churches. When most squabbles happen in churches, probably 98% of them that happen in churches, it often happens when Christians are awfully focused on themselves. It's like Jesus got smaller and we got bigger, and often that's the problem. And listen, as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we can look at Philippians chapter 2, which says that Jesus did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. This is our Lord. He emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. He took on the likeness of man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. But a lot of times, listen, church, and I'm as guilty as the next person. A lot of times, people are, you know, often upset and sullen and all that when we, you know, don't get our way. We don't get our way. And it's often because, unlike Jesus, we don't let go of ourselves. This is what the master, the king, did. And often we get the opposite because we don't let go of ourselves. I quoted Hannah Anderson before. I love this quote. This is on my the back of my door. It's one I want to remember again and again. It goes like this. It says, when we are consumed by God's glory, we forget to worry about our own. Take it to heart. I need to hear this. That's why I have it on like a list. I read it every now and then. When we are consumed with God's glory, we forget about our own. All of a sudden, we become not that important in the scope of things. Then we're willing to let ourselves go. Or how about this one? I just read this one recently in John Calvin. In the preface of his commentary on 1 Corinthians, page 25, by the way, Calvin says this. Listen to this. He says, the first step towards serving Christ, not number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Think about it. The first step. I want to serve Christ. He says, the first step toward serving Christ is to lose sight of ourselves, to lose sight of ourselves. And then he adds this, and to think only of the Lord's glory and the salvation of men. Oh, Indian Valley, this is a great and greatly anticipated day. I mean, this is like 20 years in coming here. This is a great and greatly anticipated day that's been looked for a long, long time and has now become a reality in our day. In our day, this has happened right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. So we say, praise the Lord. We say, praise the Lord. Praise God for his mercy. Praise him for his grace. Praise him for what he has done. Praise him. Praise him. Oh, let us praise the Lord. And as we dedicate this building, and we dedicate it to the work of the Lord here, as we dedicate the building, let us also purpose as the Church of Jesus to dedicate ourselves by following His word, O church. Cling to it. By following His word, by acting here in unity. That is a tall order. We're going to mess it up sometimes. We need to come back to it. We need to do it in unity by following Him, in love, by laying aside ourselves and dedicating ourselves to the gospel cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we must do. We must dedicate ourselves like this, that it may never be said of any of us here at Indian Valley, rah, same old crowd. Rather, church, in the slippery day of sin and drift that we live in this world, let us stand true to the cause of Christ, to the standards of Christ. Let us stand true. Amen? Before I pray, we are going to dismiss the parents. And let me give you instructions. What we want to do, and don't think, oh, it's going to be another half hour church, so I'm going to run the kids home. Stay. Listen, we're going to release the parents to get your kids from Children's Church. We're going to meet down the hall here in this ramp. We're just going to go down there. Once we sing our last song, we'll do the benediction. We're going to walk down and meet you out there, parents. And we're going to have a prayer dedication. Somebody's going to snap a picture. I think they want to catch everybody, like, in the hallway, going up the aisle there, in the hall. And then there's, like, food and dessert that you have to help us eat, which is down the hall as well, in the new friends classroom. And that's the plan. So we'll dismiss the parents. And I'll pray. Oh, Lord. Oh, thank you for this great day, oh, Father. Thank you for this great day. I think of my good friend, Jerry Bach from Pathway at my last church. He used to pray that this would be, the church there would be a demon-free zone. And, oh, Lord, may we at Pathway be at Indian Valley, be a demon-free zone. May he not be welcome here. May he find no foothold here. May he find no place, though he search and look. May there be nothing here. May we be a people filled with gratitude because you have done great things. You have done great things for us in Jesus. And you have done great things right now in the world, little things by comparison, but great, oh Lord, and building this building. And Lord, oh, help us to live in light of it. Help us. Make us small in our own eyes. May we do nothing but give glory to Christ in the way we live, the way we talk, the way we act. And where we have failed, because there's, I think, a Solomon who at the dedication of the temple in another place in 2 Chronicles says, there's not a man who does not sin before you. And Lord, I pray where we have messed up, oh, we beg your pardon. Oh, pick us up, oh Lord. We thank you that you are a merciful and forgiving and loving and gracious God. And you meet us there. And you forgive us again and again. And oh Lord, help us now. Help us now to get up and dust off and go onward with Christ. We ask your blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name.